the tabletop takeaway.
Game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop takeaway.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. You have just wrapped up our 4 or 3 episode cruise down Deck Builder Lane. And welcome to our bonus episode.
Yeah. Trevor, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, what's up? My name is Trevor Mullerhagel.
I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
And I'm Charlie McCarran.
Welcome.
And, yeah. Trevor, this was fun. I'm glad you suggested Deck Builders.
It's so funny because, like, I know it's such a staple and it's such like a just traditional tabletop game now. Like Dominion's been around now for 20 plus years. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know when Dominion came out.
Oh my goodness.
Almost 20 years.
It is that old, isn't it?
Yeah, just about.
Oh.
If it's not yet, I think it's 2008 maybe.
Oh, I feel so old.
Sorry, Ananda's having an existential crisis. We're going to have to...
Whoa. But I mean, not just tabletop games. Like after Slay the Spire, it's actually kind of ridiculous how many indie computer games use deck building mechanics. Even when I kind of feel they're maybe not warranted. it's kind of like worker placement in board games. People will just put it in whatever because that's an easy thing that people understand.
Oh, worker placement. Yeah, I love worker placement. Oh, deck building. Yeah, I love deck building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, deck building in indie games is, I feel like, a lot like worker placement.
They even have Marvel's Midnight Suns as a deck builder, which is a full, $60, $70 game. That's like from a major studio, I think. I can't remember who did it. But like...
Video game?
Video game. That uses deck building as the core mechanic. I'm pretty sure.
Hmm. Yeah.
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 It's a very versatile mechanic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just has a natural way of flowing that's just really nice and very understandable.
And I guess maybe one of the really powerful or useful aspects of it from a design perspective is it does let you give players that feeling of creativity and ownership, even though they're using cards that the game is providing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you brought up the video game aspect because it is actually sort of like you're leveling up.
Right.
Like you level up by getting a thing, but rather than a boring, like, ooh, I got a hit point. My max hit points is up by.
I went from 16 to 17. Yeah. Now I can take an extra bite from that bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead, it's way more exciting. So I think that's cool that video games are taking a note.
There's a huge rush of deck building video games now. Slay the Spire is great. I love Slay the Spire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Slay the Spire is a big reason for a lot of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just because the formula is so easy to replicate.
Oh, yeah. I've played tactical RPGs that are deck builders as well, which is a fascinating combination.
Hmm.
Yeah. I've played some real time deck builders, which just feels weird. Yeah, I know. I don't get it.
Oh, is there like timers on you?
No, it's just like
you can't use it too much.
You play the cards in real time. So like, if you're slow and don't play the card as fast, that is actually bad for you. Just like play all these cards. I don't get it. What if you have to read the card? Yeah,
like,
I don't think it's a good.
You've activated my trap card.
I don't think it's a good combination.
That's funny. So I had teased that we could talk about challengers in this because we started talking in the last episode about like how paperback, you really have all your decisions in front of you. You're not drawing extra cards or deciding like how do I want to pursue the strategy of this round. It's just you have the cards and do the thing. And
the common letter might change.
Right.
But that's it.
Yeah. And so in Challengers, if you haven't played, it's essentially like the game War, where each person has a deck and they're flipping over one card at a time. But, you know, in this, it's a lot of cool different cards that have different powers. And what you do is you play one game and you're deck building in between the games. So they're very short.
Mm.
And it's sort of like this really fun tournament format too, where you play one-on-one and then there could be a one-on-one game next to you and up to maybe 8 players playing one-on-one. And the cool thing is, you know, there's no decisions. You just shuffle your deck after you. The decision is which cards do I put into it, just like a other deck builder.
So I'm actually unfamiliar with challengers.
Sure.
Yeah. So
let's talk about this a little bit. How do you buy cards?
Well, I mean, you don't really buy them in between rounds.
Draft them.
Yeah. Sort of. You draw cards from one of the. There's decks A, B, and C with different strengths of cards. In each round, you draw a certain number of cards and just pick some to keep.
Okay.
So there's not like a resource that you spend. It's more of a decision of, okay, do I want to draw two cards from this weaker deck or one card from the stronger deck?
Okay.
And when I say draw, I mean you take five and you choose one. And there's like some mulligan mechanics too that we don't need to get into.
Sure,
It's
automating the buildup of that you get from a deck builder where you start with the more basic cards that are going to be mildly powerful. And then you draft ones that are a little more powerful than your starting cards. And then each round gets you bigger and bigger cards.
Also, you have free trashing in the sense that you can trash as many cards as you like in between rounds for free, no limits.
Yeah.
And this is another example of when you change the constraints of the game, it really affects what people care about because trashing is normally such a powerful mechanic.
Right.
But in challengers, if you run out of cards in your deck, you lose.
Right.
So, you have to be careful how many cards you trash because you are making your deck more consistent, but you're also getting rid of cards.
You have no real agency with the deck once it's built.
Right. Yes. It distills deck building down to the core essence. I mean, there are a very few cards that do let you make a decision during play, but for the most part, it's an auto battler, right? You're just flipping cards and resolving them. And not making any decisions. And the only decision you ever make is in between rounds, what cards do you add to your deck and what card do you remove from your deck?
This almost sounds like my Archmagus game I was trying to make, except that was a programming game. And I think that would have been more interesting if it were like challengers.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But
it feels like the natural evolution of deck builders where it's like they boiled everything down to what's the important thing? Oh, the decision you make. And you don't have to go through all the
like lining up things perfectly. Yeah. Oh, I got eight this time. I can finally get this.
Yep. Yeah. Which is fun in Dominion, but this gets to the fun of just like, wow, that was a really fast game and we can play another one right away.
Yeah.
And I can try a different strategy with a different deck.
Right.
So yeah, Dominion, you have the one deck for half hour and Challengers, you still do have one deck, but you get to like, you play out the whole deck and then...
A round is like, what, 5 minutes? I mean,
deck cycle in 5 minutes, basically.
Probably less than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's just comparing two cards, right?
It's a little bit more involved than that. I don't know how much we need to get into it. But
yeah, sure. we can table it for there. You look it up. It's a cool game.
Maybe we'll cover that in our next Deck Builders episode in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, but or...
We may revisit Deck Builders. Or
yeah. But right. I just like the tournament style, too. I think that's a format that could be used in a lot of other games.
Well, it also feels a little bit more like Magic then, too, because you're having like this group or this community like doing stuff together and battling each other. And I definitely could see.
Yeah.
So what are your designer takeaways from deck builders?
Be good to your players.
One thing we haven't really talked about that much... but is something that I do not like in deck builders in general is shuffling. Because, I mean, shuffling a deck of 10 cards or so is very annoying.
Sure.
It is not easy to shuffle 10 cards, or at least it feels very awkward. And you have to do it quite a lot in deck builders.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, you generally shuffle when it's not your turn because that's when you're redrawing cards.
But it could be in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, that is one thing I don't like about deck builders. I don't know how to fix that, but...
Well, I have a note right here that says bag builders.
bag builders.
So there's other games that use...
Like Clank.
A bag. That
uses bag.
Yeah. Building. Well, yeah, I guess Clank is kind of like... communal bag building
in a weird way,
weirdly, and but yeah, there's other ones. I guess Quacks of Quedlinburg comes to mind. I guess that would be a bag builder, or Puzzle Strike is more like a Dominion type game where the It uses like a little bit bigger poker chip type things that abilities and stuff on them. And I think one of the main ideas was like people didn't want to shuffle the deck. So, yeah, that was the innovation there.
I like bag builders a lot. I played a game a while back that I don't know if it ever actually got manufactured. I don't even remember the name of it. But it was basically a bag builder with dice. So a little bit like Quarriers.
Yeah.
But like everyone had a unique character. It was interesting. I need to play Quarriers. I have it. I haven't played it yet. Yeah.
I liked it back. I haven't played it for a long time.
Right.
But yeah. Well,
maybe we should do bag building.
Nice. Yeah. The nice thing about just drawing from a bag, or I guess not the nice thing, but in my view, the unique thing that makes drawing from a bag different than drawing from a deck is that it is very easy with a bag to replace things, by which I mean take something out, put something in, and have it be immediately randomized.
Right.
With a deck, if you want to put a card into the deck, then you have to shuffle it, and shuffling is not fun.
Well, and just to build on that a little bit, that decks have that, you know, bags don't, is you have that finite possibility. So, like, if you're adding things immediately back into the bag, then you are just reshuffling, and you could redraw the same thing again.
Or so, the inverse, you might never see that thing that you...
Right. It could just be buried in there.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and it is interesting, too, thinking about hand versus bag, because there is something fun about pulling from a bag and everyone sees immediately what your fate was.
Right.
Or in the case of Quarriers, you pull it and roll it, and then everyone sees and you get to communally celebrate that, versus like Dominion, it's kind of like you pretty much could show your whole hand at once, but there's a little bit of like, aha, now for my first trick, I do this and then this, which is also kind of fun. But just a couple different methods you could incorporate into a game.
Just a design thought for a deck builder that would technically solve Ananda's issue with shuffling is, what if as you are discarding cards, you got to arrange your deck perfectly, however you want it to be as you discard.
Mm.
So then you just flip it over. But the other players can manipulate it and cut it and move things around in that deck.
Mm.
So they can muck up your situation a little bit. Just a thought.
I had an idea for a program, like a deck programming type of a game.
Sure.
Where you could set your... I never ended up making it exactly how I wanted to.
It felt like potential.
It felt like too much thinking for programming out, like...
Yeah.
Everything that would happen.
Well, and then things get futzed up too, and then it's like, well, that my program didn't work because they futzed it up. But like, what do you do?
I mean, that's kind of the joy of Mamma Mia, the game about making pizzas, which we absolutely have to do at some point. But
you have referenced that game a lot. I want to try it.
It's Mamma Mia.
Yeah, I learned quite a lot from that game, and in that one, you're making a communal deck in that you're all putting ingredients.
Oh, I love that.
So you're all putting ingredients in the same stack.
Yeah.
And then you also can put pizzas on the stack, and the pizzas are scored if the ingredients are there.
Oh.
And then you go and resolve the stack in order. So it has a memory aspect to it.
Okay.
But it's done in a very, I did not understand. I guess Mamma Mia taught me that, memory mechanics can actually be a lot of fun.
Sure, sure.
If done well.
Yeah.
We should do a programming game. Yes. Well, I don't know if that you'd consider that a programming game.
It's sort of
memory.
Yeah, I would say it's close enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Theme mechanic idea for the future.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, but anyway, back to deck building.
We're building decks.
This is our bonus episode. We can go on tangents, right?
Okay, well, so do you guys actually want to try the deck building game about deck building?
Oh, the one where you're building a deck?
Yeah, where you're building a deck. I am so curious about it. I really just want to know how it plays.
I don't know. I'm not that curious.
Really?
I can imagine.
It's quirky.
Generally, it's like point salad, right? Or
who knows? I don't know.
I remember there was a worker placement. I think it was a prototype, but there was a worker placement game that I remember playing about placing workers in different jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. You know, like your temp agency.
Love it. Love it.
There's lots of games based on puns of categories.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, so I guess, so, but in terms of deck builders.
Yeah.
I guess, just bringing it back to takeaways.
Yeah.
I would say my takeaway is probably just thinking about the games we've played, that you don't necessarily need choices aside from what you add to your deck. Because, I mean, in Dominion, there are choices during your turn. And Trevor, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. sometimes you just make a lot of choices and then nothing really comes of it.
Yep.
In Clank, when the cards you play, you make a couple choices, like where to move if you have movement points. But you don't make that many choices about the cards because you have to play all of them. And in Paperback, you don't really make choices. It's not about making choices. It's more about recognizing patterns
mm-hmm.
because you already know the most points you can get from your hand. It's whatever you get by using all of the letters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more a question of can you recognize the word that will use all those letters? So that also doesn't make a choice.
Right.
And I think the fun choice in deck builders, and this also gets to challengers, where you don't make any choices really when you're playing out the deck. The fun choice in deck builders is what are you going to add to your deck?
Right.
And then once you've done that, just see how it happens. Mm-hmm. So if you're making a deck builder, I think my takeaway is players don't need to make choices aside from what cards they add to the deck. And if you recognize that, I think you can really streamline the game and open up space for a lot of other cool things to include because you no longer have to worry about people needing to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
I unfortunately am working on a game where I might be having people make choices in a deck building atmosphere, but mixed with tableau building.
I mean, I think that's
Curious. I'm very curious how it'll go.
Yeah.
So we'll challenge this this hypothesis and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it. I actually have tried a light deck building element in a game I was working on. And part of it is, you know, I was using this deck you start with as the different actions you can do and just basically three different color symbols. And you can play all of one color symbol and then, but you can pump up your deck with like these are.
Be like a specialist or like having lots of different colors.
And I'm realizing like one of maybe the things I didn't incorporate enough into that. Granted, it was a small part of the game. I mean, it's an important part of the game, but I didn't. I don't think I made the cards you could get as exciting as they could be. It was
feel that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Or you make the starting cards too exciting.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe a pitfall that designers fall into if they're making a deck building game is like thinking about it being really balanced of like, well, we can't get this, make this card so good that it creates a whatever strategy.
Right.
I think that would be my thing I would try if I was going to do a deck building game is like extreme cards.
Well, and what's great with that kind of aspect is in Dominion, there's a couple different ways that the game ends. One is if the provinces run out or if three other decks run out. And mm-hmm. that's when you start to notice, like, oh, it's kind of solved its own, like, hey, these are the best card combination in this game. And it naturally finds it and then ends the game as those cards are chosen.
Hmm.
So, like, it's a naturally built-in safeguard.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, wow. Good job, Dominion.
You know, it would be funny to see, like, if you collected all the data from all Dominion games and saw which piles ran out.
Yeah.
And then you could, in theory, balance around that.
And then make it a perfectly bland game.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
it's completely dependent on context.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
True. That's true.
And player preference.
Yeah.
People are going to put in random piles of cards, so I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, whether you can.
If the chapel's in play, is the witch really going to be helpful, or is it going to be less helpful?
But with AI, we can.
With
we
the power of AI.
We can do that analysis for not really a good reason.
It will certainly tell us numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Are
you going to make a deck builder game?
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that because right after, around the time of Protospiel, Minnesota, which was recently.
A week ago.
Yeah, it was just a week ago. I came up with an idea for a reimagining of a while ago. I had a reverse deck builder called Goblin King.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the idea is you get goblins into your deck randomly, and then you have to decide which ones to strategically kill off by sending them into battle.
Fun idea.
an idea to make it a cooperative game. Sort of, you know, a little bit in the vein of Spirit Island, cooperating against the heroes invading the dungeon, but driven by reverse deck building.
That sounds great.
That does sound great.
So that might be my next big project if,
yeah,
you know, if I have time to work on that.
Yes, you should.
Time.
Well, Trevor, I want to hear from you.
Yeah. Because
you were working on a co-op deck builder. What did you learn? Or I guess one versus many.
Yeah, one versus all co-op. It was so the original iteration, I didn't even really refer to it as a deck builder, but that was the closest thing that existed for it. I called it a deck drafter. So it was a superhero game, but street level superhero style. So you start off with your character and then you add on ability to that character. So everyone has a starting deck that's basic. That they have cards that are like, well, that's okay, but, you know, I'd like better ones. And then you'd get a new power. But when you get a new power, you'd actually add in 6 new cards to your deck all at once. So it's like, oh, God, I have all these new things. And you get to discover them as you play them and how they sync with your original cards. Then you may get another power and then another power. I think I had 3 be the original number you'd get. But it's always...
Why'd you go away from that idea? That sounds cool.
I know. Well, the overarching... gameplay was not super engaging for everyone. There was not a lot of good choices or agency. So, like, you'd get this new deck, and then you'd go do the same thing over and over again. Mm. It was too grindy, I think is the right term I'd use. And so this is... I'm still talking about the same game. This is just a new iteration.
Sure.
Always. Yep.
I mean, that reminds me a little of Smash Up, where you take... Was that part of the inspiration?
I hadn't actually played Smash Up yet when I first started designing that game. I played Smash Up.
If people haven't played that, it's like you can take these very thematic decks like the Leprechaun deck and the Dinosaur deck and smash 2 of them together and see what happens with that combo.
And you just play a whole game with those 2 types of cards in the game.
Yeah, which I think is really cool.
It's really cute, crazy, chaotic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have X-Men with... princesses or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that concept.
Yeah.
I really do. I really like the idea of smashing together 2 things, but I really like the idea also of giving the player more choices of pursuing what they're doing and being more intentional about it instead of just like, oh, I got this now. Woohoo. But maybe there is some woohoo that we need in life, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, that's a good point. You really, like, you want to feel like you earned the thing.
Yeah.
And... deck builders feel like they give you that because, yeah, you buy it. You earned it to buy it, but then you have to, like, wait for a moment, and then, oh, yes, finally. Yeah. The combo, not only did that card come up, but it came up with the throne room, so now I can double my...
yeah!
Yes!
Double mine!
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does do a good job of making you feel like you earned the cards.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's something I'm still working on bringing into this game, is you really feel like you've earned what you've done. Mm-hmm. However, so it's a superhero game. The one versus all is the villain. The villain is the one. And they are still more of a smash-up style, where they'll pick a number of decks, smash all their stuff together, and then figure out what their strategies are with these different decks combined. Mm-hmm. But they don't necessarily have the resources to make everything work. So, like, they're building up their resources and stuff like that. Yeah.
And maybe what's hard about that for players is like, you're with a card game like that really would reward multiple plays.
Yeah, it would.
And it's hard to get from 0 to
all
the cards.
Oh, yeah.
And
don't I know it?
I mean, yeah, we had that experience with Mage Wars a little bit when we were talking about that.
Oh, my God. Like, even just building the decks. Every card. And then, like, okay, so we built the decks. Even though we knew what the decks were, there were so many cards. It's like, holy cow, so much content.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. But also, very overwhelming. But also, awesome.
Yeah. Cool. So,
all right, deck builders,
awesome. Any other final thoughts?
I'm glad that deck builders are here.
Mm-hmm.
They're a great game.
Yeah.
I need more.
Well, thanks. Thanks to everyone for listening once again to
our podcast. We appreciate you.
Yep. And yeah, reach out if you have comments or questions. Trevor's been leading our communications and
doing my best. Yes. During tax season.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we do have a Discord now that Ananda started as well.
Yep. Facebook group, Discord, Instagram.
Yep.
We're our name everywhere, which is great.
Yeah.
They're not like Tabletop Takeaway 1 or 2.
Nice. With that, let's wrap it up and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.